Thrones is back, everybody! What's the new Game of Thrones? She's a Dragonstone now. It's a cool set. They put a lot of work into it. Ed Sheeran is in Game of Thrones. It makes perfect sense. Game of Thrones is back. Ed Sheeran's in it. I think he might be a secret Targaryen. Have you watched Game of Thrones yet?
Nah.
What is your opinion of Game of Thrones right now?
Welcome to Shows What You Know About Game of Thrones. This is our discussion of Season 8, Episode 6, The Iron Throne. But let's just call it what it is. This is our discussion about Game of Thrones, full stop. The whole way through, we've never ever been able to discuss all of Game of Thrones before. And we're going to cram that into about an hour or so. I'm sure we'll be able to bring up all the nuanced points of view and every way to look at this. And it's finally over, and I feel weird, and yeah, that's it. End of the show. End of our show, end of everything. Everything ends. I'm Jacob Burrows.
I'm Jim Scampoli, and I got a question for you. Do people have opinions on Game of Thrones?
I know, right? Who do they think they are? Judging art. You can't judge art, Jim.
It's been quite a journey, and I mean, actually, my journey to even watching this finale, if I could go inside for a bit. I mean, yeah, we're a little late, but hey, let's let things marinate. We don't need to be like social media, these instant gut reactions, these getting our change.org petitions to get a new season 8 made. We let it marinate. We watch the documentary. Did you watch the documentary?
No.
But also, yes, I was overseas in London, and actually Jacob was in London as well. And
a smaller seas.
The night this
narrow sea.
and like the night this aired the narrow sea. Because this airs in London at like 4 in the morning, 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning, I don't know, late.
Yeah.
And then on that particular night we actually were out getting drunk. We were very drunk. And I woke up at like 6 a.m. hungover, and I was like, let's fire up this Game of Thrones. Let's fire up this finale, because I needed to watch it, because I knew, like, once it airs, everyone's talking about it. The floodgates open. Not that I was – I mean, you can't really – you can spoil it, but you can't spoil it. You know what I mean? Like, I kind of assumed things were going to happen. I just wanted to get it out of the way before someone ruined it.
Well, Jim, I'm glad that you got in right at the end and got to see how the other side lives, the other side of the Atlantic, that is, because all of you people watching your shows on Sunday nights, that's not a thing over here, unless you're up very late and you don't have a job, that's fine, or you do have a job and you're just very tired at work. No, it's always been like Monday, usually like Monday night, and it's always like fraught because there are always people who watched it, and like I want to punch him in the face, just like I don't even want to see what your face is, I want to take your face off, so I don't want to, like, don't smile, like, go away, I don't want to see your face today if you watched Game of Thrones. I definitely understand that. Meanwhile, I came home at some point from, I think it was, after we recorded an episode of Jim and Them, your podcast that we did the night after, I came home, I think around 2-3 in the morning, so I actually got the delayed experience, and I watched this, like, I had the same thought, like, I can't wait, it's already been 24 hours, if I wake up tomorrow, a bird will tweet spoilers at me through my window, I have to watch it now. So I also watched it very, very tired, there in the middle of the night, as is our custom this side of the sea.
Yes, yeah, and honestly, just like initial base reactions, and I guess this is kind of a cop-out, but like, I kind of didn't really have a reaction at all to it, and I guess maybe that's the worst thing to say. Maybe that's like the most insulting thing, like if I was talking to D&D, and I was just like, yeah, you know, hey, it was an ending, it's over, that's the last one, and no more. Because it wasn't like, I mean, I obviously didn't like love it, but I didn't come out of it like hating it either.
Yeah, well, you could read that as you've been sort of beaten into submission, and now you're just kind of like, they did end the show. There's no way to deny that it is now over. And I think a lot of people had that sort of, I feel empty inside, but not necessarily in a bad way. It's just the show's done now, which is maybe sad for something that you've, cared a lot about.
Yeah, yeah. And I guess it's kind of like it's all going back to... I mean, I don't know. I don't want to sound like a jerk. I don't want to be like, the show's never good. but, I mean, it's a good show. It's a well-done show. I just feel like we've talked about this a lot. I think people were kind of tricked into different things. I'm not completely giving the writers, not completely letting them off the hook. I do feel like there was definitely some missteps, definitely some things that could have been developed better. But also, I feel like there was these expectations for something you've never seen before, I guess. And, like, clearly that's not what we're going to get.
Yeah, and I think you said this as well in our quick take that we did of the previous episode, because both of us were either in London or heading to London at that point, so we just did our quick take of the previous episode, so we can go into some detail on that as well. But you did say, I think, that you'd kind of had your negative reaction at the start of the season, so towards the end you were kind of like, you know what, this is kind of chill. And that's something I sort of sensed from multiple people. There were people in my office at work who were really upset about, you know, episode 3, and then they were kind of chilled out by the end because they'd gotten the rage out. Meanwhile, episode 3, I was like feeling kind of what you describe feeling now, and then my rage sort of built because it got to the end and I was like, it was for this, because I thought that there was a point to that, because we were gonna get to something and we got to this. So I think it's reversed for some people. But I definitely understand as well, like, I'm not furious about it, but I mean, it's not fantastic. Should we get into this episode, or what do you think?
I kind of want to reiterate that I do feel like it really was episode 3 that kind of resigned myself to be like, all right, well, let's just see where it goes now. And then it was kind of like, okay, all right, it's over.
Yeah. So the first thing I would like to talk about, I know there's some other scenes of them walking around, looking at devastation, Grey Worms killing some people. But I kind of feel like the first important scene in the episode is with Jon and Tyrion. When Tyrion's locked up, well, I guess there's the big Hitler speech. That's really good, too. I like that. But I wanted to talk anyway about Jon and Tyrion first, because I really like that scene where Tyrion is locked up, Jon comes in, and they have, you know, their whole thing.
Well, I do want to just call out, and I mean, I know this is pot calling kettle black, because we do podcasts discussing TV shows, and one of them specifically discussing Game of Thrones. But I saw like a common thing online where everyone was like, oh my God, the cinematography. Because there's that one shot when it's Daenerys and the dragon wings are behind her.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, that's a great shot. But like, I don't know, you're kind of like, I don't want to say normie or stupid or something. But
sure,
it's like really on the nose shot. Like, I get it's kind of well done, but also it's like all built in on effects and everything. I did see some people like me being like, this is all CG. What are you talking about? Like, they didn't have to like build a shot. It was just created on a computer. Settle down. It's basic imagery. But yeah, I just wanted to call that out since we're kind of going past it.
Sure. And I did like that speech as well. I think when we were discussing the last episode, the episode 5 there, I was saying that it could have easily sort of been fixed if you just kind of cut out the bit where she burns all the people, which, and like, you could have still have had the same devastation of her going after Cersei, and that causes all sorts of chaos. But you, on the other hand, were saying that you liked that they did it this way because there's no like way to be a Daenerys apologist anymore. It doesn't work. Now, having watched this episode and the way they ended it and the way they kind of had to end it, because obviously George R. R. Martin gave them this stuff, I am more on your side of things, because it wouldn't have made any sense, anything that happened in this episode, if they went with my sort of quick fix of like patching it together that way.
It kind of does have to be, it has to be a very deliberate and specific choice that she makes. It has to be that she's already won. Now, don't get me wrong, I don't feel like they've earned it. And, you know, there are apologists out there, because there are some people that are like, of course that's what she's did. The show's been building this for 7 seasons. And I would say that's quite a reach. Yes, there have been hints, and there's been a lot of other characters saying that this would happen, but I wouldn't agree that they've actually laid the proper groundwork. So I completely get, and I'm probably side with the people that don't feel like it completely works. I just get why they did it the way they did.
Yeah, and I get that as well. So that made this episode make more sense, but it made last episode make absolutely no sense to me. And that's really the crux of it, because it doesn't support this episode either, because it didn't make any sense. And I know as well, I've been not necessarily an apologist for the writers of the show, but I've said, you know, they've had a tough time. It's not easy writing this thing. That's all still true. But knowing now what the end point was, knowing they would have known this so long ago, I'm like, how did you fuck this up so bad? You knew you were heading to this. Why didn't you write that story? Why did you just kind of meander things along and not write this story where Daenerys can actually do this and it makes sense? Yes. That was, sorry, just a bit of an outburst. But yeah,
well, no, you're right. And I feel like, I guess it's because they wanted, like, the shock value, kind of. Like, yeah. In retrospect, for what Game of Thrones tries to do, it on paper, it's like, oh, yeah, okay, so the hero you were rooting for is a villain. But, yeah, it's just not really earned. And I get it. They don't want to, like, make it completely telegraphed either, but I feel like there definitely could have been a few things they pushed a little further to help it make more sense.
Yeah, no, I agree. So that's why I wanted to mention as well. So this Jon and Tyrion scene, watching that, I'm like, wow, this could have been a fantastic last episode if this made sense. So the scene is great from both of them. It's just that the scaffolding of the show isn't holding the scene up. Like, if you only watch that scene, it's like, wow, this is great. And I feel that about other scenes in this episode too. But then it's like, the support system isn't there around it, so it doesn't make sense. So this is when I started feeling that. I know people have said that previously about sort of Jaime and Brienne, that there are scenes missing. But here I really do feel that, like, oh yeah, this is completely ruined because it's not held up. But I guess I've kind of managed to be satisfied with having these good scenes, and then I'm just like, I'll just imagine the rest of it then. I'll just fill in the gaps for myself somehow.
Yeah, and it just, I mean, and where things go, because it's like, you know, we have this, it is a good moment with Tyrion and Jon. I mean, before that, it's a little corny when he, like, finds Cersei and Jaime, like, moves a few bricks, and there they are.
But that's indicative of the problem that I've said, that they're great sort of visual storytellers, but they make such basic mistakes, like putting them so close to the wall that they could easily have been shot by the scorpions when they're doing their whole negotiation thing 2 episodes ago.
Yeah.
And then this of like, oh, they're literally like under 3 bricks. So they would have been fine if they like moved over there.
Yeah, exactly. And again, it's also more like, it's just more people talking about what Daenerys is going to do. And I guess obviously it's more believable now because we saw her destroy a city. But again, it's like, it's just more people saying, like, you know, well, she's going to kill you. She's going to kill you, dude. And I guess I get it. Like, at this point, yeah, she probably is. But, you know, it would have been nice to just see a little bit more of maybe the conflict with Daenerys and what she's going through, like if she's torn between her love for Jon, but his threat to her power, stuff like that.
Yeah, well, she did stare at him once in that one scene, doing a real sort of aggressive Bran type move. So, in this scene with Jon and Tyrion, there's some basic but great stuff going on, just as far as how they put it together. Specifically, it's very noticeable how they're doing it, but with their heights, the scene starts with Jon coming in. He's the way it's shot, and obviously the way it's sort of blocked out. Tyrion's sitting on the floor while Jon is standing there tall, and then as the movements of the scene goes on, Tyrion stands up, and like as his arguments start gaining weight, Jon is brought down low and he's sitting down and he's got his head in his hand, and Tyrion is standing up, and the way it's shot, he's now taller, so he's sort of got the power in the conversation. He's making sort of these things happen. He's actually doing the thing he's supposed to be good at, changing things just by talking, which he's totally failed at for seasons, at least doing it efficiently. And it's all supported by how the scene is put together. Of course, Jon rejects this and stands up again, and then they're in separate shots, and he puts his hand on Tyrion's shoulder, sort of enforcing that, no, you are down here, and I'm up here, and he sort of holds up his shield of honor of like, no, I will keep saying the things I'm always saying, so let's go with that. But of course, he's planted the seed in Jon now, and that's what he needed to do.
Yeah, and it's also kind of like, I get it's kind of Jon Snow's character, but it's still, it's hard to even buy that at this point he's still kind of conflicted.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it makes sense, but again, it's just something I feel like if they tried to lean into a little bit more, but it's just more people just say, like him having to say, like, she's my queen. You know, I would never betray her. It's easy for you. You don't have to lead or whatever, you know, like the stuff he says. It's just hard to be like, are you still, you're still doing this?
But that's the problem. If what she had done, she could have still done something totally horrible, but if she did it to actually achieve something, it would have made more sense. Or even if we knew what supposedly she's trying to achieve in her own brain to, like, send a message of fear or whatever, even if any of that was properly or well communicated, then maybe he could have been sort of an apologist, but now it's just total denial from him.
Yeah.
So the conflict within him isn't as believable either.
And they're trying to kind of sell the previous episode, too, through Tyrion, because, yeah, he's saying, you know, we cheer her for wherever she goes, evil men die. And yeah, you kind of get a point there, but it's still quite a leap to then be just burning up women and children that are running for their lives. It's a little bit different. I understand, yeah, she went pretty barbaric with some of the slavers and the bad leaders, or even burnt up the Dothraki leaders, but it's still quite a leap.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think it's like, the main thing they've fucked up with the show, unfortunately. Yeah. And I don't, like, the things are there. Like, those are great, as has been said by so many people, those are great things to sort of foreshadow it, but it doesn't give you the story building blocks to get her to this point. And maybe if the sort of war was shaped differently, it could have made sense, but the way it was put together, it made no sense for her character to do this at this point. But yeah, so we get, I suppose, is there anything you want to talk about before the scene with Daenerys and Jon?
Well, I mean, I guess sometimes duty is the death of love. Would you disagree?
Yeah. Well, I'd say love is the death of duty sometimes.
Yeah, that's true. Yep.
Deep shit. I miss Maester Aemon. He was cool. Yeah. He had some points. So yeah, we have a scene where Jon shows up. I like that the dragon, Drogon, is guarding the place, so it feels like no one else could do anything to Daenerys, really.
Yeah.
But because he can get past the dragon, he can do it. Which is, like, it's been said, and I do agree that Jon being a Targaryen, it really was so hyped up, but it really didn't go anywhere. But I suppose this is where it went, that, you know, it caused a conflict between them. That wasn't important. But, like, I guess the dragon didn't kill him, so I guess that's why. Even though, like, years of Ned Stark carrying the secret, and, like, nobody gives a shit in the end. It doesn't matter at all.
Well, because, yeah, I mean, I guess, because it's assumed that everyone knows if Varys got his letters out, but maybe he didn't get them out. Like, who knows what the point of that scene was? I mean, I guess it shows that he was actively working against her, the reason why he, you know, got lit up. But yeah, you know, yeah, there's a lot of things. It's basically a meme of like, oh, what was this? What did this mean? Oh, it didn't mean anything. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. And I've not been this way before about Game of Thrones, but now after the finale, I've just been on the hashtag looking at memes, and I'm like, this makes me feel better. Like, lots of people sort of gently poking fun at some of the holes in the show. It kind of is therapeutic in a way. So yes, we get to Daenerys and Jon's scene. And here we have kind of another chance to figure out what's going on in Daenerys' head. Unfortunately, her rationale to me still makes no sense. He comes in accusing her, like, you burned women and children and blah, blah, blah. And she says that she tried to make peace with Cersei and that Cersei used their innocence as a shield.
Yeah.
... So I murdered them all, even though I'd already won. Like, there's nothing there. There's nothing in that argument.
Because that was kind of her argument beforehand, and it made sense of, like, you know, if we have to take this castle, then their descendants or whatever will
collateral damage.
Us.
Yeah, yes, exactly. But that's not what it was.
But that's not what. Yeah, that's not what it was. I do like that they don't even let her sit on the throne. I do like that it gets to that point, like she touches it, she's there, this is her destiny, but she doesn't even get that one moment.
Yeah, and so unfortunately, the bittersweet thing they're going for here doesn't quite work, because Daenerys could have just not killed everyone in King's Landing, and still won. So I get what you were saying about, like, yeah, we need to get Daenerys to this point because of Jon's got to kill her and all of that. But, like, she could have just not done that. And then, you know, her whole we gotta be brutal to build a new world thing doesn't make any sense. She could have had everything she wanted just by not murdering innocent people, and Jon Snow would have, like, followed her forever, even if he wouldn't fuck her.
Yeah.
And, like, she probably could have gone and taken over all the different countries and whatever she wanted in her speech, but, like, there was no need to do it. If she'd done something horrible, like I said, that made sense, even a little bit, then, you know, these scenes, they do a great deal to support that, but there's scenes missing.
Well, and also, like, it's she's full on crazy now because there's not even a moment of, like, oh my God, everything's in shambles. She's, like, really happy. Like, look what we did. And they're standing in a kingdom, like, with no ceiling and walls and stuff. And it's just ash and cloud everywhere. So she's just a full on loon. And I mean, going back to the Tyrion and Jon discussion, they touch on that a little bit because it's like, kind of the point I think other people have made. It's like, oh, well, she's a Targaryen, that's why she's crazy. And then Jon's like, well, yeah, I'm a Targaryen, why aren't I crazy? Or like, Tyrion, you know, you're Tywin's son, you know. And then they just kind of like, no, but she's fire and blood or whatever. So yeah, she's just a nut. Like, even if it would probably be more powerful if she did kind of show a little bit of, like, oh my God, what have I done? But then pull that in and kind of have more confidence in her resolve to take over the rest of the kingdoms. Yeah. And then he has to do it. You know what I mean? Like, it's just weird because she's all like, look what we did, Jon. This is great, right? Here's the throne. There's a great kingdom.
When I was a little girl, I thought the throne was big. Yeah, cool, Danny.
Yeah.
Great story. Yeah, and I mean, speaking of her being a loon, this is kind of a small detail. I just find it kind of funny that she keeps talking about breaking the wheel. Like, she says it in her big speech to everyone, and I'm, like, imagining being a Dothraki at the back, like, what does that mean, break the wheel? And then, like, she says it to Jon as well, and she did have a cool line about it. I think she was talking to Tyrion, like, seasons ago, but has she gone around explaining what this metaphorical wheel means?
Yeah.
Because she's just saying, like, you and me, Jon, we could break the wheel. Just makes her sound extra crazy, I think, to everyone around her.
Yeah, yeah, and then it kind of, I mean, because it's, like, it's very clear what's going to happen, like, before it happens during this scene.
Yeah,
right?
Although I will say they did a fairly good job of me not knowing who stabbed who for a second there.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, because they keep talking about Daenerys killing Jon, and Jon has been such a one-note character that it's, like, hard to imagine him doing it, so I could have seen that too. But yeah, you're right.
And then, yeah, so then he, you know, stabs her. She dies there, and then Drogon comes to destroy the throne in a very symbolic, you know, message to the viewers.
How did that hit you?
It was, you know, it was fine, I guess. I do like the memes about it. There's one meme where it's, like, got a long explanation, like, what Drogon's thinking of, like, this symbolic thing of power that corrupts people and turns them, I need to destroy it. And then the other one is, like, pointy thing killed Daenerys. Throne pointy!
That's a good one. True. And I always said I wanted the... I think we did account for our who we thought would die and who we thought would live. And I actually have that pulled up so we can look at that at the end of the episode.
Excellent.
But if the Iron Throne had been on there, I think everyone would have said, yeah, the Iron Throne's going to get destroyed. I thought they were taking it apart to use the swords. Never mind.
Yep.
This works as well. Like, you got to destroy the Iron Throne. Everyone thought, well, not everyone, but it was a common theory that it's, you know, symbolically going to end the Game of Thrones, but then we're going to have, I don't know, the Game of Politics instead. It's going to be a House of Cards instead of a Game of Thrones at this point, because now it's going to be politics who gets to lead the democracy politics, but... yeah, whatever. What else can be said about this? If they'd sold the love story, this would have worked better.
Yes.
They never really sold us the love story.
And it's just a nice, convenient, like, Drogon flies away with her body. And then it's, like, even more annoying that there's a line later where Bran's like, I'm going to find the dragon or something. And it's like, oh, okay, so is there something going to happen here? No, it's just, you know, he flew away, and he's still out there somewhere, maybe to come back one day, then just restore magic to the world or something.
Jim, don't get me started on Bran.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Well, I guess we better get started on Bran. It is sad that because they've already murdered Daenerys. Like, they murdered her last episode, the writers, that is. And so I don't feel that much. And yeah, she was never most people's favorite character, but like, what they did to her feels so unearned that, like, I was more sad last episode than I was seeing her die now, because after last episode, everyone said, well, she's going to die next episode. The only question is it Arya or Jon? Basically, that was it.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, because it was almost like, all right, we're following Arya here. Is she going to then, you know, take her out because of her firsthand glance on the battlefield or whatever? And going to the documentary, it is really interesting seeing them like read the there's clips of them doing the cast reading of the season, and like Kit Harington has like a better reaction to just reading the script kind of than he does in the episode, where like he's kind of really heartbroken. And even like the actor that plays Varys, when he's reading his last scene, he tosses his script before they even finish the like description of how he's about to die. Like, you know, and like, this is great fodder for all the people that are let down this year, because they're like, look, even the actors hate it too. And there are montages of the actors trying to like not really defend the show or the writers, and it all kind of fits. So it's a good watch. I'd recommend it.
Yeah, we'll definitely watch that. I mean, before we move on then, since this is, I mean, it's kind of John's last big scene. Like, the rest of the episode, he just kind of looks at stuff and, you know, bows and whatever. So, even though I just said I feel like they butchered Dany, let's not forget about the other half of this dynamic duo. Jon Snow was absolutely neutered as a character these last few seasons. Yeah. He became, like I said, completely one-note, kind of saved by Kit Harington, like, because he's maybe not the best actor, but he's very likable. The arc of the character has been very fun in the past, but he's become so flat. And I don't want to be all, like, books this and books that. I honestly, like, don't even care that much. But I just kind of remembered after watching this that Jon Snow in the book, he's actually, like, a smart person. And I'm like, can you imagine these past couple of seasons watching this show and not going, Jon Snow, what the fuck are you doing? Because he's always doing something that's so fucking stupid. Or at least a few times a season. Like, imagine watching this show and going, wow, good choice, Jon Snow. Holy shit, you might actually win the old Game of Thrones there. But no, I've not felt like that ever about this character, which I suppose is what they're going for, because they want him to be like someone who would never win the Game of Thrones because he's too pure. Like, that's why Varys likes him. But like, obviously that's not going to work either. The only thing he's done is kill Daenerys, which was that was like, okay, good choice, Jon. You did the right thing there for once. But like, everything else has been such a mess with Jon, and it kind of makes you sad to think about.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of it's a similar thing to with Daenerys to with Jon, where, I mean, I guess, yeah, they kind of knew where they were going, but some of this stuff makes it seem like they didn't know they were going here, at least that long ago, to properly set it up. Or maybe just initially they thought they had more time, because again, maybe they thought like the other books were going to come out. And then, I mean, my feeling, like, I have no ill will towards them being like, you know what, fuck it, we're going to end this now. Because I know a lot of people are like, they could have done 10 seasons, or they could have done that. And it's like, it's easy to say that when I'm sure that this is an exhausting show to make. Like, I remember in the early seasons, like within 3 or 4, where they were just still talking about how it does take a full year. Like, once they're done, they're immediately starting on the next season, because you got to get everything written. You got to get all the logistics worked out, where they're shooting and all that. And it probably gets to a certain point where, you know, because the running joke is like, we're going to go do Star Wars movies. Fuck that. And it's probably like, no, well, yeah, we just want to do something else. We don't want to keep doing this. We would love to do it with the books coming out, but it's clear this is not happening anytime soon. So we kind of just have to nip this in the bud. But going back to what I was saying, it's like, they kind of had to keep Jon a very specific way just in case, and it's almost like they had to do it with Daenerys in a weird way just in case. Like, they were very gun-shy on making anything that controversial about her narrative through most of the seasons. And I think that's why it was always just other characters murmuring, like, oh, maybe what if she's crazy, like the Mad King. And they didn't want to show it because maybe it would affect I mean, the fan, look at how the fans freaked out about this. I mean, they freak out about everything. It's this great culture we have now around fandom.
So, yeah.
It's still, again, I'm not saying they should be off the hook. There's still things they could have done that was better, but it really feels like they kind of had to, you know, maybe in case something changed or who knows when they were going to get to this finish line, so they had to keep things a certain weird status quo. But the problem with Game of Thrones is that people loved it because it was anti-status quo, so it fucked everything up.
Well, yeah, exactly. And even though I feel, having watched it, it feels like a lot of it could have been fixed by adding more episodes, not making it as rushed. But I don't think it could have been fixed beforehand by adding more episodes, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because this was still the skeleton of what they were doing. And, like, it just would have been what we have now, but more drawn out, I think. Because they didn't have that to work with. It would have been like, oh, you want us to write more things quicker? And, yeah, they did take extra time for the final season and all of that. So maybe you'd think they'd have done something with that.
True.
But
I mean, again, I know like we're kind of defending them a bit, but there's definitely things that are indefensible. I mean, there's a reason the meme of like Danny kind of forgot about the Iron Fleet is so funny, because it's such a dumb thing to say.
I just feel like there are ways to kill a dragon that aren't that way, you know? And there are so many things that could have made a lot more sense. And even just, I will excuse all the sort of visual problems. I will even, like, I'm okay with the dragon dying there. I'm okay with them standing so close to the wall that they could have been killed by the scorpions. But the character scenes weren't there. The ones where we actually get the proper building blocks to get to the finale that we were going to, that they knew we were going to.
Yeah, and Matthias in the chat, some people argue they should have handed the show over to someone else. I mean, I guess there's an argument there. Although I still feel like that would still end up with, because in my opinion, this show felt like it was starting to wrap up in season four. That's probably my sole opinion. Not wrap up, but it felt like they were already starting to, like, you know, all right, let's get an end game here in sight. And if they just started meandering on and on, either waiting for books or just someone else comes in and builds their own story, I mean, there's definitely the possibility it could have been good, but I feel like it still would have ended up with people complaining and people saying the books were better, and ever since they went away from having a source material, it sucks. So I don't know. I don't know if that's necessarily the best answer.
I gotta say, despite our criticism, so the thing you're saying, that it felt like it started wrapping up there in season four, which is book three, and then it started meandering, hey, criticize them all you want. That's so in line with the books. That's exactly what happened in the fucking books. So you got to season three, or book three, and then it was supposed to be there was supposed to be a time jump, and he decided not to do that. He decided just to keep fucking writing and churning out these words, writing himself deeper and deeper into a hole, and that hole is somewhere he still hasn't climbed out of. And D&D were like, well, you brought us into this hole. Are you going to get us out? And he was like, I haven't even gotten myself out. I've had years. And they were like, fucking hell, we're putting this thing on a rocket and we're blasting it out of the hole. We got to get out of this fucking hole, or we're just going to be in here forever.
And honestly, Arya has the same exact ending in season four that she has in this, basically. I mean, she's on a ship to a new land. That's that's where we end with her character.
Yeah, yeah, and I think if they'd handed it off to someone else, I actually had that thought as well, but I'm like, can you imagine what we would have said about D&D? We would have said they were geniuses, and whoever took over was a fucking hack, and fuck HBO, because they gave it to someone who fucked it up, even though that was, like, the problems were inherent in the material, so I don't know, like, probably maybe someone else with a bit more enthusiasm could have done a slightly better job, but would they have done a perfect job that everyone would have been happy with? No, I think everyone would have said it was so much better with D&D. Why did they have to leave? Fuck you, Game of Thrones. Fuck you, D&D. Fuck everyone.
Yeah, fuck you, David Chase. Your Game of Thrones sucks dick. D&D are fucking geniuses. You're a piece of shit.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh, but it adds, as Hirogawa says in the chat, that would have been incredible PR for D&D.
Oh, absolutely.
If they just checked out when it was on top, like, can you imagine their Star Wars then?
And when it cuts to black here, I was actually, I mean, obviously it's a time jump, but I was kind of I thought it was going to be like years. I thought it was going to be like a big time jump, but
yeah,
it almost feels more unrealistic that it's like a few weeks later or whatever it is, like a month or something. but like Tyrion and Jon are still alive. Like, you're telling me Grey Worm just wouldn't have killed them? And I thought maybe Jon was just going to be like, I don't know, she just flew away with Drogon. She said, my work here is done, because there's no body, no crime.
That's the problem with Jon. He can't tell a lie. He's like Ned Stark 2.0, even more Ned Stark. Like, of course he has to tell the truth, because he's an idiot. Yeah, we cut to this, and I have to say, they're out of context, removing the context of the rest of the show, there's so much I love in the first 40 minutes. Like the burned city and her speech that we kind of skipped over, Tyrion and Jon, even Jon and Dany, like there's stuff I really like in this. And then we do this cut, and everything after that, it's not that everything's terrible, but it was such an abrupt change in tone. It was such a like, let's fucking end this shit, that I was like, oh wow, this is weird. Tyrion gets brought to this council where all the lords are gathered, and they sort of explain that there's Northmen outside, and none of this feels like it would happen. But anyway, they get to a point where they gotta pick a king or a queen, which there's no way that would happen this way.
Nope.
There's really no way. But anyway, that's where we are. What do you think?
Yeah, they do their lame joke. I mean, they do the lame joke about democracy when Sam stands up and they all laugh. Yeah, it just doesn't work. It doesn't really make sense, especially this whole show's taught us how people can't do this, and then they do it. And then even the icing on top is that Sansa's like, we're going to be independent, and then no one else is like, well, yeah, so are we. Like, the Iron Islands or whatever.
Yeah, I know. That look on her face, Asha's face, that's like, wait, oh, we could do that? Like, oh, shit, I already swore fealty.
it just feels like, and then, actually, the cherry on the icing is then, you know, then it won't be, the throne won't be decided by blood. We'll just get back together and pick another one. So it's going to it's going to somehow work out again and not cause more wars. I mean, maybe that's supposed to be the idea, but I don't know.
It is supposed to be the idea. So they poke fun at the democracy thing, but then they kind of do it anyway, which I guess is the way to do it. A lot of people suspected that it would turn into some sort of council leadership or democracy. That would be sort of the symbolic taking apart of the throne, and we'd get to this. And that all makes sense based on the books and the show and such, but it's much like a lot of stuff in the episode and the show in general. It didn't feel like it made sense the way it played out.
Yeah, and these are memes at this point. These things have been pointed out, but Grey Worm's like, you know, that's not up to you, Tyrion. You're not here to speak. And then he just speaks, and then it's up to him. And then even the fact that, like, they're like, you know, we can't just let Jon go because the Unsullied wouldn't let that fly. And then they leave, like, immediately. Like, they bounce, go back to their homelands. And it's like, okay, they're gone now. Welcome to the throne, Jon Snow.
No, they'd hear about it. Someone would tell them. They'd come back. Because it's so easy to just come back and take over a city. They don't even have a dragon anymore. Here's what I thought it felt like. You know that moment when Tyrion decides who would win the Game of Thrones? He stands up and does his whole thing. I think it's fairly obvious that this is where they recorded a bunch of different endings, right? Because they always said we recorded a bunch of different ones. And they sort of turn to him and he does his little speech and he picks Bran and that. It felt to me exactly like one of those moments at the end of a video game, like an RPG video game.
Yep.
And this is where your choices throughout the game impact the ending. And I could almost like see the lag where Tyrion walks along there and it cuts to this specific ending.
Yeah, the camera hangs for a second as he's looking, but it's like it's moving, but no one, like the camera's moving, but no one else is moving as it's loading the ending that you earned.
Yes, and I feel like that will be on the Blu-ray, that you can like pick which one it's going to be and you can watch the different ones. But like, so it cuts to this ending, the one where we get Bran, where the North built up enough points to become a separate kingdom, because otherwise it would have been the Seven Kingdoms. And you, the player, go, oh, fuck, Bran's the king in this one?
Yeah.
And then you go online and watch a bunch of YouTube compilations of all the other different endings, and you decide which one you like, which is your canon ending. It's rarely the first one you get. You're like, oh, shit, I definitely shouldn't have killed the Krogan, I guess, or whatever. So maybe you replay it to try to get to that ending. Maybe you don't. Maybe you just call it a day.
I mean, there was an article. The actor said he read it and he thought it was a joke. He thought it was like a joke fake script. He did think that.
Yeah.
I mean, they do go into the documentary that they did have like Jakar and the Waif, the actors. They brought them in to be on set to kind of throw people off. And even the Night King guy was there on set for this stuff just to, like, throw people off in case someone took a picture of them in the area or something like that.
Yeah. It would have been cool if any of those characters were there, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, speaking of characters, this is not as important as what I just said because the whole brand thing, like, fuck that. But Davos is just kind of like this guy, you know?
Oh, yeah.
We all know a guy like Davos because at some point he was cool, I think. But now he's just this guy who's around, and I guess he works at a company that's so shit that everyone else quits, but he just doesn't quit. He just gets old and weird, and then he gets promoted because he hangs around. And, like, I'm not convinced at this point that he's actually competent at anything except smuggling onions. They've done a good job of that. He smuggles a bunch of people in and out of places, but I haven't seen him do anything besides that.
Yeah, he's a smuggler. I'm a smuggler. I'm going to cut my fingers off. Yeah, because I really liked his character, but then on my rewatch, I started getting annoyed with him, too. Because remember the Iron Bank? Remember that? He makes, like, a big, nice speech to get money for Stannis, and then we never see the Iron Bank again. Yeah, I mean, they're throwing in jokes. It's kind of funny when that one guy stands up, you know, the pathetic guy, and Stannis tells him to sit down. Yeah. It's just if everything that's else good. Wasn't, like, kind of shitty around it, it would be like, oh, that's kind of fun.
Yeah, so then we get to fucking Bran. Fuck Bran, seriously. Tyrion had one chat with him in Winterfell, and he was like, he's the story of our people.
Yeah.
And Bran is not a person. Like, I also maybe read the same interview with him, I don't know if you read that one, with the actor, who was also very surprised, like, what the fuck, I guess. And he said that it was very hard balancing, like, for the first six season, Bran was a character, and then he was, like, this weird thing, and there's no context for how to play him. And he said, like, from the reaction, I think people didn't only find him annoying, but I think that's people being nice to his face. Like, who would go, like, you know who my favorite character is? Bran. Yeah. Tyrion, apparently, because he didn't watch the whole... He's like, oh, wow, he went north of the wall. Yeah, because Mira was there, because Mira Reed was there, and the other guy, her brother, Hodor, Hodor had of the king. He did more than Bran ever did. Like, if you're just going to worship someone for having a great memory, just make, like... Deep Blue, the chess playing machine, you know, he has as much personality as Bran, so make make a USB stick your king, why don't you? Because he is our memory.
Well, that's why it's even more bizarre that they didn't at least give him a couple cool things to do in the past, this season or even last season.
Yes, because, exactly. If he had done anything cool, this would have been made so much more sense.
Because when he did that, like, going back to episode 3, just a small thing, because remember I said, like, how, oh, I thought, like, when the dragon showed up and saved Jon, it was because Bran warged into the dragon, because he was like, I need to go now. So if he did something like that, it would have been like, oh, okay, this dude's as powerful as, like, you know, a Daenerys or something like that. And he's got this reach into a world that no one else does. This kind of makes sense. Maybe he'll be able to rule properly. But no, they just had him be annoying and mumble weird shit. And also, like, I guess it's been pointed out before, but he saw this happen. So it was like, instead of saying anything else, it was this weird selfish plan to be the king. And I guess not even Bran himself, the three-eyed raven. It was like all his plan all along.
Yeah, the line you said about, like, I have to go now, I don't think it's a meme elsewhere, but it's a meme with me and my friends, because we started saying that so much of, like, sitting in our desk chairs at work, like, I have to go now, and then sort of wheeling away, because he doesn't go and do anything. He didn't actually have to go now. Spragles in the chat, Bran is now the greatest villain in the show.
Yep.
He lied to everyone, and then he was like, yeah, I'm king. Like, remember when he didn't want to be Lord of Winterfell, but he's like, oh, king, sure, well, yeah, go on then, why not?
Yeah.
And like like Jake points out, he will also live like 1,000 years as the Three-Eyed Ravens. Night King was our hero. Like, I kind of like that one. I'm not so much for, like, weird fan theories, but it is like, didn't the last Three-Eyed Raven live for thousands of years? And you're like, we will pick the next king. Will you?
Yeah, will you?
Maybe you'll just have this king forever and regret this forever.
Yeah, it really is such a bizarre... It is just like a goof, almost. It's almost like, all right, funny. Let's play the real finale now. But, I mean, I guess it's weird because it is really like no choice would have been completely satisfying, but this is like a certain... particular flavor of unsatisfying that they really went for.
Yeah, and I really think, like, again, this is one of those puzzle pieces or end pieces they were given, obviously, by George R. R. Martin, and it's like, there's a way to do this, and you just didn't. Because when Peter Dinklage is a great actor, as we know, obviously, fantastic. Even when he finds his brother dead there in the crypts or whatever, even though that's kind of silly, I'm still like, wow, what a great actor. This is amazing. But this speech, not even he could sell this speech to me when he's going there saying, and who, like, stories are so important, and who has a better story than, and then it could have cut to any of those people. Yeah. It could have gone, because he goes like, the boy who fell from a high tower and lived. Jon Snow died and came back to life, bro.
Yeah, yep.
Did you not hear about that? Arya Stark, the girl who played with Neels, who killed the biggest monster that ever lived.
Yep.
Sansa, who broke from captivity to rule the North. Fucking Sweet Robin from the Vale has, like, he is on the level of Bran. He has kind of done as much as Bran at this point, so why not make him king?
Yeah, that's why, because honestly, the whole thing, like, you know, when Bran was first beyond the wall and some of that stuff first started developing, it did feel important. It felt big. And then they just squandered it, like, over and over again by constantly having him not do anything. And I get that was kind of part of the, like, oh, wow, he's, like, transcended life or something. But if they just threw a few things in to show, like, his power a bit more and not make him completely uninterested in everything, it at least would have been like, oh, all right, I get it. I get this is what they were building towards. They were building towards, like, an almost like an otherworldly being stepping in to lead the people.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's the king. We get a final few scenes here. Brienne writes in the book about Jaime. My main takeaway from this is we got some great memes out of that one as well, when she's just writing and that it's just, you know, the burn book from Mean Girls, or she's just writing about how he has a little dick or all these good stuff. Good memes based on that. So that's, I guess that's where I'm at.
A common complaint, and this is going back to the previous episode, people were very upset that he had that line that he didn't care about the people. And they were like, of course, Jaime Lannister cares about the people. He killed the Mad King. And I'm like, well, I mean, but he's shown that he doesn't really care about, like, he cares about his family more than he cares about the people. So I thought that was a weird stick, but I guess there's a lot of Jaime Lannister stands out there. A lot of girls swooning over how hunky he is. They wanted to be the hero that he isn't.
Yeah, I mean, I saw that line. I like you said, lots of people had strong reactions to that line, and it just flew by me because I just saw it as bravado. But yeah, I've not been as engaged in his story as a lot of people have, which is why I guess I didn't mind what happened in it as much either. I care more about Brienne. Like, I care. He hurt Brienne's feelings, so fuck him. Like, that's about where I'm at. We get a small council scene that, for me, people have said they liked this. For me, this was absolute trash. It was such a weird shift in tone when we're have a comedic sort of bouncing back and forth scene. And I don't know if you said this on the show or off, but Sam did it. He brought the book, A Song of Ice and Fire, and thumps it on the table. And I'm like, fuck Sam. Fuck this.
Yep.
He didn't write it himself, I guess, but it's like he may as well done. It may as well have been George R. R. Martin playing an old Sam sitting by the campfire, like I think you said.
Yeah, no, I did say that, and yeah, I can't believe they did it, but their twist on it, they're like, yeah, I know this was a dumb idea that people said we would do, but guess what, we did it, but our twist is that Tyrion's not in the book, but it's like, well, he's also the Hand of the King right now, I don't think you can just wipe him from existence, you're gonna have to maybe get an editor, and he's gonna have to go ahead and get Brienne in there to rewrite that fucking book.
Well, she edited out some of the worst parts as well, but he's been Hand of the King and then like Hand of the Queen and then Hand of the King again, so I guess, I mean, to be fair, he didn't do much these past seasons except fuck things up, so anyway, yeah, we have the five of them in this council chamber, and there's just this shot of them all looking at Bran as he's sort of wheeled in there by Podrick, and I'm like, Westeros is fucking doomed. Like, Arya had the right idea. Get out now, because we have these fucking bumblefucks running shit. They've showed us so clearly that Tyrion's supposed to be the capable one. None of those people are capable, as far as the show has showed us, except maybe Brienne, who's good at fighting, but I don't know about anything else. Braun obviously is OP. We talked about his scene. What the fuck was the point of that? They just made him Lord of Highgarden, even though why would you trust him after that? I guess they just go, we like Braun because, you know, he's such a charismatic actor. So now we like him in the show as well. This makes no sense. Kill him off, I say.
Yeah, no, it makes complete sense on why they didn't kill him off, right? And also Podrick, it makes complete sense why he couldn't have just died at, you know, the Battle for Winterfell. It makes complete sense why most of these characters live, because it's like they had payoffs later, right? Isn't that how it works?
And that's the thing. I don't want to be the guy who's like, oh, more deaths equals better show. But just the fact that you chose not to pay off so many things, it's like, well, you may as well have killed them in a way that would have been significant to the show. Especially Bronn. I mean, I've said this before, but having seen the season, I feel vindicated. That one scene where his motivation makes no sense and he just goes away, and then Tyrion's motivation to let him back in also doesn't make any sense. I guess everyone else is dead. I guess there's no one else who can, like, read or write or think in Westeros anymore, because they all died in King's Landing, so put him in there.
And then, like, backing up a little bit, when Tyrion's talking to Jon, and now, like, the roles are reversed. Now he's the one in captivity. He can't even give him the, like, because Jon Snow's Jon Snow, so he's still going to be tormented over the choice he made. And he's like, is it right, you know, what I did? And he's like, well, what we did. And then he says, like, ask me again in 10 years. So I totally thought that meant, like, all right, we're going to cut forward at least by the end of this episode 10 years and see. Nope, nope, we're not going to get any of that. So if we're not going to get that, then at least say yes. Yeah, what we did is right, John. You can live on knowing you did the right thing, and that's your whole spiel.
Yeah, so John goes back to the Night's Watch, which is like, what is that now? Is that like the we're going to reclaim the North of the North type thing? Like, is it, because I just read it as like, okay, is he gonna be like king beyond the wall? It kind of feels like that, but then he doesn't want to be king. He would reject that as well, wouldn't he?
Well, it's weird. I mean, because I've seen a lot of people point out, like, well, why would there be a Night's Watch? But I always saw, even because in the beginning with the Night's Watch, people didn't believe there was anything magical, so it isn't like now that the Night King's dead, we don't need a Night's Watch. It's just their version of prison. So I just saw that as like, all right, that's fine. But then I guess when we get there, I mean, John does make the decision to just go beyond the wall. So, I mean, I guess it is kind of a out of character a little bit for a Jon Snow, because usually he's so, you know, tried and true. And if he's sentenced a life sentence, he'll take it. But he just kind of goes. He just kind of goes with the wildlings, right?
Yeah, but I think the Night's Watch always went beyond the wall. And now I would interpret it as, like, they could have put, you know, any of this in the show to let us know, but I interpreted it as the Night's Watch will now kind of be helping the wildlings retake the North, or the North of the North, like everything north of the wall, or because it is now safe, so it's a new area to kind of explore and settle, and like you don't have to run from zombies all the time, even if the weather conditions are bad and such. And he did, as people have pointed out, he did defect from the Night's Watch and join the Wildlings, and then it was duty that sort of brought him back, and now he gets to go north and sort of be a Wildling, and I would say he still can be a Night's Watch person despite that. It is symmetrical putting him back there. It just feels like because the Daenerys murder and all that wasn't done properly, it doesn't feel right to put him back there. Like, Kit Harington does a good job of looking like a totally broken man, and like maybe this will heal him. Maybe in 10 years he will also see if it was a good thing and see where he is and everything. But because the Daenerys stuff didn't work out, it's like, oh, go off to we'll just get rid of this character. And again, like, it didn't matter that you were Targaryen. And Bran's like, you were exactly where you needed to be, doing fuck all, Jon, as was I, as were we both.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's just the fact that, like, Tormund's there and he's, like, with... I mean, we did get him finally petting Ghost, so that's great. We all wanted it, and it almost feels like they just shot that real quick once everyone was complaining, like, oh my god, we need to fucking put this scene in there. But it didn't feel like he's like, oh, this is part of my watch, I need to go beyond the wall. It felt like, all right, I went to the wall like they said, let's go, wildlings, we're fucking piecing out of this joint, we're gonna go live where we live now. But that's just how I read it.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, again, they didn't put it in the show. They didn't explain any of this, so it's open to interpretation. I still feel that if he'd had a tearful goodbye with Ghost and then gone, like, if he'd said, like, no, I have to leave this world behind, I leave Ghost behind, I go south, I have to be a Targaryen or whatever, and then he gets to come back, then that's sort of a loop. But now it's just kind of like, I looked at Ghost, and now I get to be here, and I don't know what is supposed to be, you know, what am I doing? What's going on here?
Yeah.
So we're going to obviously go through our ye olde death tolls, but we did get some feedback sent in. So we'll go through some of that real quick.
Okay.
From Peter. He wrote in, just to start off by thanking us for excellent recaps of this season. You guys have great minds for TV, and we're always critical without nitpicking small things on this season of Game of Thrones. I hope you still feel that way, Peter, having listened to this episode. So this is actually about episode 5. He says, I really enjoyed episode 5, and I thought it was the best episode of the season. The 20-plus minutes of Dany killing the people of King's Landing was pure terror. I was blown away and could forgive all the writing's sins up to this point. The big moments of this episode really shone. Jon realizing what was going on around him, Arya getting lost in the city's destruction, Jaime and Cersei's death. It was our protagonist of good for the past 8 seasons, turning into a force of sheer evil. I did not see the turn coming, and I loved how it raised the stakes of the show. The Night King and Cersei were always villains that I figured would lose, but now with Dany ruling, I was excited for this potentially unconquerable evil. What do you feel about that?
Well, yeah, I mean, because I was in on it. I enjoyed that episode. I was, like I had said, I was in with Clegane Bowl. I love that. I love that those stupid scorpions didn't really amount to anything. I love that the
Golden Company.
Golden Company. I love that scene when she just comes blasting through behind them and just lights them all up. I don't think that guy even got a line that they kept showing him. So I was kind of in on that. And it was like, I think I talked about this when we discussed the episode, like because I couldn't hear what was going on, like, because when you heard, like, the people yelling, like, ring the bells, I had to, like, rewind it a little bit, because I'm like, wait, what's happening? And I'm like, holy shit, there's, like, an hour left. What's going on here?
Yeah.
And I was pleasantly surprised. And yeah, a bit, again, it's just not... The main thing that keeps coming back to is just it's not earned. It's a decent twist, but it's not a great twist. And it would have been better with a little bit more build up. Not completely telegraphed, but also not seemingly out of nowhere. And don't tell me with the foreshadowing. I understand. Yes, I get it.
Yeah. Yeah. And moving on to the finale here, Peter C. writes that, let's see. The beginning was mostly good, and I think Danny's Hitler-like speech was the highlight of the episode. I thought we may be getting a Ned Stark-like beheading of Jon or Tyrion when they cut to Arya in the crowd. And her eyes, Daenerys' eyes, fully enamored with the roar of her army, was amazing acting. From here, the show fell to utter shit. The Dany death fell flat and not earned whatsoever. I felt the episode had a lot of potential, though. Jon had just committed the ultimate act of treason and was in trouble. Was he going to tame the dragon since he's a Targaryen and lead the Battle of the North plus Drogon versus Grey Worm's army? Or anything interesting? No. None of that. We cut to weeks later showing a makeshift council representing the various kingdoms. What the fuck? We then get a campy dialogue as the council makes jokes and decides Bran should be king? Jon Snow and Tyrion have just been chilling, huh? Grey Worm and his army, that are hungry for blood, pretty much concede to whatever the council asks, and he fucks off to North.
Yeah.
this episode that I was expecting to be 2 hours of nonstop action and drama instead spent 25 minutes giving us a half-baked epilogue. Everything is at peace, and there's really no consequence for the slaughter of last episode. To me, the epilogue dragged on and couldn't end soon enough. I am beyond disappointed. Once again, thanks for a great show. That's from Peter C.
Yeah, I mean, I think those are all valid. Those are all valid criticisms and points. And I mean, it really did feel like the destruction of King's Landing was kind of shrugged off when we cut to a few weeks later. I mean, I guess to be fair, they weren't filming a lot in some of those locations. It was like that dragon arena, and then just kind of by the ships and stuff. But it really just felt like, oh yeah, don't worry about it. You know, it's okay. Just like how half the Dothraki are still alive and half the Unsullied are still alive. It was a lot of hand waving, And it did feel like, I mean, with the way George R. R. Martin's talked about in the past, it felt like this show would have had more of an epilogue, almost like an episode that was strictly epilogue. And I don't know, that could have been good, that could have been really bad, but it felt like we were going to see more of the impact of where these characters ended up. At least that's kind of what I expected. Maybe, like I said, I was looking for more of a time jump, but I guess that, you know, that wasn't in the cards.
Yeah, some people don't like, you know, the bit of Lord of the Rings where there's like 18 endings, yeah. But George R. R. Martin has said that he always liked the bit where they come home and the Shire's all fucked up that's in the book and not in the movie. And that was kind of part of what Game of Thrones is. We get to see the consequences, like the actual real world stuff that would happen based on the decisions of these big heroes. And yeah, instead we have like a small council sitcom type multi-camera shot of them cutting back and forth, calling each other, well, the master of coin thinks this, and yeah. The master of ships thinks whatever. Some feedback here from Jonathan, who's been watching along with us. I have a few things to say about the ending of Game of Thrones. Was it a satisfying ending? No. Was it the worst ending ever? No. Instead of complaining about what I didn't like with Season 8 and Season 7, I have a question to you guys. How would you rank the seasons of Game of Thrones? And he gives his ranking here. I think you will be better equipped to answer this than me, because you've just recently rewatched it. Jonathan goes Season 3, then Season 4, followed by Season 1, 2, and then 5. I don't know if this is parsable to anyone's brain, just yeah. Going through it. But then after Season 5, Season 6, 7, and 8, in your brain, would you be able to sort of conjure up what you think?
It's hard to say. I do think Season 4 is the best. I've said this a lot. Part of that, though, is because it is like this culmination of the three seasons before it. Like it, I feel like it pays a lot of that stuff off really well and sets up new things really well. I still feel like Season 5 might be my worst. Like, even all the complaints about these ones because things are rushed and that, I still think Season 5 might be probably the bottom for me because it just feels so, like, meandering, doesn't really go anywhere. Unless I'm thinking of Season 6. Because, again, yeah, it's jumbled in my head as well. Besides that, it's kind of you can pick or choose. I do think Season 4 is the best, and then you can kind of do, like, 1, 2, and 3 are, like, right in line, like, right below that. And then it's, like, varying degrees. I mean, I'd probably put, like, Season 7 over 8. And then maybe like Season 6, but yeah, it's so jumbled, it's hard to really specify.
Yeah, and having not rewatched it recently, it's very much the same, but I also, at least nostalgia-wise, Season 4 sticks out. It's probably the favorite, at least, you know, maybe I'd have a different opinion if I'd seen them all just recently, but Season 4 is a top one. 1, 2, and 3, 3 would probably be high up there, and then 1, 2, a lot of people kind of don't like 2, I do like 2. But it's not as good as 1. And after that, it's hard to say. Because like you said, 5 and 6, it's like, wait, which one had the... Which one had the Battle of the Bastards? 6, right?
Yeah, and it really is like this. The main arcs are kind of stretched between 5 and 6. Because like Arya is in the Faceless Man through both of those seasons. And kind of doesn't finish that out till the end of Season 6. And I think the High Sparrow kind of stretches, maybe not from the beginning of Season 5, but somewhere in Season 5 and then through Season 6. So those definitely jumble in. And they probably have better standalone episodes than, say, 7 and 8. But I think as a whole, I was like, ugh, this is kind of a slog to get through some of these.
Yeah. And as far as Season 7 and 8, if it weren't for Episode 5, and even though I liked so much of it, just Daenerys' whole thing, it just didn't come together. So 8 is probably at the bottom, even though from 7 there was a lot of stuff I kind of didn't like either, obviously.
The only real standout episode from this season is still that Episode 2. I feel like Episode 3 doesn't fully deliver on that promise, but it had a really, classic Game of Thrones feel, and I do like the kind of the calm before the storm, like here's everyone saying their last goodbyes and ready for the end of it all.
Yeah. So in the chat, Matias has been asking, what's West of Westeros? And then like 20 minutes later, what is West of Westeros predictions? And I will say, Jonathan also wrote, To be fair, he wrote, "Now that the show is over, I want to remind Burroughs of a conversation we had in 2016, after season 6, episode 8. I thought Arya mentioning that she wants to know what's west of Westeros was hinting of how her storyline would end, that she would sail away and explore what's west of Westeros in the last episode of the show. Burroughs laughed at me and responded, it felt like empty dialogue to me." And honestly, Jonathan, I think we were both right.
Yeah, I got him. What is west of Westeros? I mean, I guess it's just Slaver's Bay, right? It's a globe. It's a globe Earth, yeah. or Middle Earth, wherever they are.
While some people think there's a spinoff west of Westeros, but there isn't.
I can't believe that they had to come out on record and say, no, we're not making that. Like, who? People really thought that that was like a setup for a show? And did you even want to watch that show? No, you don't.
Yeah, no. That would be so. That would be like an ABC Family adventure type show or something like that. CBS, I don't know. The it would not be an HBO show, I feel. So Michael Carbonara also got in touch here saying, "Hey, gentlemen, I don't know your reactions to the final episode, but just basing off Twitter, it didn't get a very good reaction. In typical Game of Thrones fashion, the episode before the last was very good, in my opinion. But as for the finale, I thought the first 20 or so minutes were very good, but then it sort of trails off. Do you think that the season finale got a bad reaction because the final season as a whole has kind of been okay at best? The only reaction to a finale like this that I can remember would be Lost and a certain other show that you guys will review. So I guess my question would be, how would you rank the three season finales from Game of Thrones, Lost, and The Sopranos? And I've seen one of those, so Jim, what do you think?
Yeah, I was going to say, Jacob hasn't gotten to the end of The Sopranos. You can follow our journey along at Cut to Black, Soprano Sit Down.
Where we are watching every single episode of The Sopranos, and as Jim said, you can search for that on any podcast app, and you should find it. We are in like so many episodes now, 70 episodes, we're on season 5, but not finished yet, so hard to say. Jim?
I think Sopranos finale is clearly the best of the three, although I get why it's jumbled in with these because initial reaction is tough, and it isn't like a standard ending, and it doesn't really give you what you want. I'm being vague because, like as we said, I know Jacob has a vague understanding of where it goes, but especially during this rewatch and seeing what David Chase does, it's completely in line with the show, and I think it's an ending that has aged beautifully, if I will. And I think whether it be fans that were disappointed or not at the time, it's something that people have had a better understanding with some distance from the show. I don't feel like Game of Thrones ending will age that well. And I guess it is very similar to Lost, where it puts somewhat of a pox on everything that came before. Although, I guess, with Lost ending, I was kind of trying to be positive about it, even though I knew it wasn't great. But it's, like, maybe worse in my mind than it was when I watched it. But I still have great memories of that show. And I feel like I could still maybe rewatch it and still have a lot of fun with the journey and the characters. I haven't since it like originally aired, so it's hard to say. But
sounds like a podcast is brewing.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, and because I mean, like, if you listen, you know what? If you listen like my podcast now, but like old episodes, we'd always bring up Lost every now and then. You listen to my old raps. I used to rap at the time. I rap about Lost.
Smoke Monster, yeah. So that's jimandthem.com. Yeah. You can find all that. Just go back to 2009. I've listened to all of them.
And there are so many great memories, though, of just speculating and kind of going over the show. It probably wouldn't have the same effect in a binge now if you're like, oh, I'm going to watch Lost, and you watch it in like a month, and you're like, oh, that sucks. Mm-hmm. Game of Thrones, I guess, is kind of similar. My recent rewatch of Game of Thrones, I was a little down on it because there were certain things that I knew were going, I guess, in the end, nowhere now that we got to the end. And that's why I like seasons like 5 and 6 to me. I'm like, oh my God, let's go get through this already. So, yeah.
But did you feel that way, even knowing like the Red Wedding was coming? Did you, and Ned Stark. Like, I've rewatched season one a bunch of times. Like, you don't feel that with Ned Stark because it all adds up.
That's true.
Red Wedding maybe is. What was your thinking of that? Did that still feel like
that? Still feels no. That those definitely still feel like a good journey and well worth where it goes. I guess I'm more thinking about like the potential of Arya Stark, because I mean Arya, she's still a favorite character of everyone, and especially in the beginning she was, but then when they start to really bog her down with some dumb stuff and she goes blind and it's meandering, it's almost like in the early seasons I'm kind of like who's her teacher, like Cyril Farrell
yeah.
When I'm like, ah, oh, this is great, but she's going to have a lot of boring stuff soon. Or even like, oh, this cool, interesting character that she saves, he's going to be boring soon.
Hound and all that. Sorry to cut you off. I was just going to say, I feel that despite everything here, seasons 1 to 4 of Game of Thrones will still like always be a masterclass in how to tell this type of story, or maybe stories in general. Like, you can learn so much from it, and maybe I'll do a rewatch and I'll just stop there and I'll just make up the rest of it maybe.
And it's tough because I the common thing is like there was a scientific graph that shows as how people got less enthused about Game of Thrones, even though it got more popular. But when like people started criticizing it more, it's like less dialogue per episode, because I mean, hinting that they got into action. But the action was great in those early seasons too. Yeah, I mean, maybe season 1 and 2, it had very minimal because they didn't have the budget. But don't act like just because they got great budgets and had huge battles, it made it bad, because those were still great. There was a way you could do both, given these later seasons relied on it too much, and that did make it seem like quality went down. But then again, popularity of the show, it skyrocketed once they started getting in those epic battles.
Yeah, I mean, it was the quality of the dialogue that was the problem, not the quantity, in my opinion. Like, there are lines that's so... like, it's always been TV, but it starts feeling so TV with some of the lines that come up in I'd say maybe season 5 and onward, but like especially 7 and 8, where there's or 6, 7, and 8, where there's lines that like, this never would have been written down and put in a book and then put on TV after that. This is clearly just like, let's get through this scene as fast as possible writing.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, we're basically done with the Game of Thrones, but I think it's time for the Game of Bones, where we see who was more right, me or Jim, or you at home. So I have it all tallied up here.
Great.
For Jon Snow, we both guessed he would be alive. We were correct. For Daenerys, we both guessed she would be dead. We were correct. And again, like you said, they didn't want to make it too predictable by like foreshadowing that she would be a mad queen or whatever. I always said that theory was incorrect because the material wasn't there in the show. So the fact that it came as a shock, kind of, to me, didn't make it good at all. Like, because we put this, the bookies put this, everyone put Jon Snow alive, Daenerys dead. Like, we already knew that was going to happen one way or another, like, just based on stats. So why not do it right?
True.
For Sansa, we both guessed that she would be alive. For Arya, we both guessed that she would be alive. We were correct on both of those. Bran, we both guessed would be dead and not king, because he's been so fucking useless. I think we both thought he would do something cool and then go out, because what would be the point of keeping him around? And Bran as king has been a popular theory, but again, this material wasn't there in the first 7 seasons to support that. Or at least, you know, season 7, whatever. He just hadn't done anything and continued not to do anything.
He was gone for a full season too, remember?
Yeah. And then he shows up at the end and becomes king. Like, this is also a meme, but like, he's like the guy in your study group or in your like class project who does nothing and shows up and gets an A at the end. Missandei, you thought would be alive and I thought would be dead. So that's one point for me where I guessed correct.
Because I thought Grey Worm was going to die.
Exactly. We both thought Grey Worm was going to die, so we were both wrong on that. So no points for that. Jorah Mormont, we both thought would die. Correct. He did, of course. Tyrion, we both thought would be alive, which also was correct. So, I mean, like I said, we kind of knew that all this stuff was coming, so then don't rely on the shock at value, then just kind of do it right.
True.
Jaime, Cersei, and the Mountain, we both said they would all die, and they all did. The Hound, we both said would be alive, which was incorrect, obviously, because he went out taking out his brother.
Should have seen that coming.
Varys, you thought would be alive, and I thought would be dead.
Damn, so that's... now you're two up over me, huh?
I am. Don't worry, we're getting into some dumb Jacob decisions here. Tormund, you thought would be alive, and I thought would be dead, so that's one point to you. The Red Witch, Melisandre, we both thought would be dead, because, I mean, she said she was going to come back and die, which she did.
Yep.
Brienne, we both thought would be alive, so no points there. Bronn, you thought would die, and I knew that Bronn cannot die.
He
is eternal, so that's a point for me. I'm at three now, and you're at one.
I totally thought he was going to have a satisfying conclusion.
Yeah, well, serves you right. Theon. Now, this was my big, dumb mistake, because I thought Theon would be alive because I'm an idiot, and I thought he was going to rule the Iron Islands, but he's had such a tragic arc, it makes so much sense for him to die, which is what you guessed, so you get a point, and I don't. Gilly, we both thought would be alive, which is correct. Sam, you were kind of inconclusive on in our discussion. You didn't go one way or the other, but I'm not going to like take that from you. I think we both thought he would be alive.
Yeah, because I think I thought he'd be alive, but then I was thinking they were going to go for... I mean, they did go for shock value with other things, but I thought that would be their maybe... because at the time, it felt like it would be a big loss. But then when he was just annoying in the Battle of Winterfell, it's like, all right, kill this guy.
Yeah, get rid of him. No, he's got to do the sort of intricate title there of the... he actually says, I helped him with the title. What a fucking shit line.
Yeah.
So that's also why I was looking at that small council, like, right, so we got Sam, we got Tyrion, who else is there? Davos, great, he's in there too.
Perfect.
All these people make great decisions. Bronn, obviously. Brienne, this is gonna go great.
All they're missing is Stannis walks in. It's like, yep, you never saw me die. And then Brienne's like, haha, I worked.
My plan. Speaking of Davos, you thought Davos would die, and I didn't. So that's another point for me. I'm at four. You're at two.
Because I just assumed. Sorry. I just assumed like this is a character. It would. And again, I'm with you. It doesn't. Deaths don't mean quality. But it just seems like, okay, this is how you would use this character. He could die.
No. The more useless the character, the better they end up in the end. Jon Snow was a very useful character, so we sent him north of the wall. Sansa, what did she actually do except conspire? Ah, let's make her the queen. Bran did even less, so he gets six kingdoms to Sansa's one.
Yep.
And the final one on our list, obviously there are more characters, but Podrick, we both put as alive. So you got 2 points, and I got 4 points, Jim.
Yeah, you beat me. Uh-huh. God damn it.
Yeah, see? And most of those were just by saying people would be alive. We had a poll at or a competition at work, and I was in the upper range, which I was surprised by, because watching the show, I was like, Theon, I'm a fucking idiot. But mostly just by picking who would be alive is how I got points. But then there were some dumb mistakes in there that I feel like I should have known better, but I kind of tried to swerve on some of them. You know, Theon was a swerve. Shouldn't have swerved. The show didn't swerve. It just went straight down the line.
Yeah, it just went for it. Yeah. That's all you could do sometimes.
Well, they went for it, and they did finish it. Now, obviously, regarding spinoffs and such, George R. R. Martin keeps talking about all these prequels they've got in the works, and like, I hate prequels just by default. Maybe something cool will come out of it. But even more than that, I think, even though it's obviously absurd to have a Change.org petition to reshoot the season, that's obviously absurd, Game of Thrones has become such a big thing that it's like... We can't quite see it now, but like people already have nostalgia for this, but imagine in like 20 years when it's like, fuck, remember Game of Thrones?
Yeah.
Like, it's not going to end here. It's going to be a franchise because everything is a franchise. So much like Spider-Man or whatever, there will be other versions of Game of Thrones. There will be comics, there will be expanded universe stuff. George R. R. Martin will eventually probably let other people write stuff, whether it be TV or spin-off novels or whatever the fuck. It's going to be like a Star Wars, not as big as Star Wars, but it's going to be a big thing because people are going to look back on it. New people are going to discover it. So I don't think it's mad to think that there's going to be like a Netflix or, you know, well, not that. I guess HBO would keep it, but like an HBO, A Song of Ice and Fire, in 10 years, like, they make that show, or make maybe they'd make a shit movie. Like, probably all of it will suck, because that's usually how it goes. But there's gonna be more Game of Thrones. But as far as for just now, that's the end. of Game of Thrones.
Yeah, we're going to be hearing about Targaryens and the Starks for the rest of our lives, like new ones. And yes, either it'll start with this is Ned Stark's, you know, great, 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 great grandmother or whatever. But then eventually then it'll be like, well, no, this is Jon Snow. He was supposed to take no wife and have no child, but this is actually his child. Like, we'll get there. We will get a sequel, I bet. And it's going to, or it's like, this will be his great grandchild in the same way that, you know, we're seeing fucking Luke Skywalker as an old man and Han Solo's kid and all that shit. Yeah. I mean, even something like The Sopranos, we're getting a prequel movie in a year. So yeah, these things don't go away. Once they become hits, you'll hear about it for the rest of your life.
Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. Nothing this popular ever goes away these days. So, you know, it's almost good, not necessarily good, but we've hit that sort of point now where we're like, oh, okay. So whatever comes next, if they make a spinoff or whatever, we're not going to be like, this is shit. The original was perfect. We're going to go like, huh, I like dragons. Like, yeah, this is fun again, because it's been a few years. We're kind of done with dragons for now, I feel. But, you know, eventually.
Yeah, yeah, we'll see, you know, Littlefinger's aunt and how, you know, she came to power and was very sneaky, and it's like, oh, that's just my nephew, Peter. Don't worry about him. He just likes to climb ladders. Yeah.
Have you seen his hands? He's got such a little finger.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know what? We're not, at least one good thing is true. Because of everything we're saying, we're not going to run out of television. And we're not going to run out of good television. Nope. For example, next week, season 3 of The Handmaid's Tale is starting.
Yes.
And we also have a podcast discussing The Handmaid's Tale that you can find by searching Gilead Gazette of, maybe you don't know how to spell that exactly, you could go to showswhatyouknow.com and find it there as well. But if you just put in Gilead Gazette, that's our podcast reviewing every episode of The Handmaid's Tale. What else should we tell people about, Jim?
Well, like we had mentioned a few times already, Cut to Black, A Sopranos Sit Down. You can also find that at showswhatyouknow.com. And then, you know, we check in with other TV shows on there as well. You can also send your feedback or request a show by either submitting a review on iTunes or sending us an email at showswhatyouknowshow@gmail.com.
It does feel weird that this is the last, like, Game of Thrones discussion, right?
Yeah.
I did say in my quick take that I'm more tempted to make a Game of Thrones video now, having seen, you know, the season. So I might Skype you up, Jim. I might bounce some ideas off you, because I think we could fix it. I think we could do it.
so
that might
idea.
Be coming. And where will you find that? Why, you will find it by going to YouTube and putting in Awesomepedia, which is the name of my channel. You can also find everything I do at awesomepedia.org. Of course, as we mentioned about Jim, he has another podcast at jimandthem.com. It is very funny. Check it out. Go back to 2009. Do it proper. Listen to the Lost raps and everything. But I think for now, there's only one thing we can say, Jim.
What's that?
It is, I have to go now.